How many days have you spent with a dog? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. How many days, I'm writing it down, have you spent with a dog? Now you say, well, that certainly is an irrational statement. Why would anyone say, how many days have you spent with a dog? Well, how many days have you spent with a dog? I have never spent a day with a dog. I have never had a dog in my presence for a full day. In fact, I don't even remember having a dog in my presence ever. I've had the mirror image, which is my creation, in my presence, God, all the time, but never a dog. Now, what is the term that we usually think of when we think of dog? We think of a pet. We think of something that follows our will, follows our desire, something that does what we bid it to do. We think of dog, something that goes out and brings back our chute when we are hunting. We think of a dog as a retriever. We think of a dog as something to love, as something to just be irritable with barking and so forth. We think of a dog chasing after cats. We think of a dog doing all the things we think of a dog doing. Now, why do we do that? Why do we create a dog in such a unstable image? We do, you know. Now, I know many people who are great aficionados of animals and dogs. And they live with their pets or with their beings in such a manner that they have one mind, that dog and their mind are one. When they think of anything, the dog already knows exactly what they're thinking about and going to do it. Not just because it was time to take a walk and the dog goes to get its leash. Or not just because somebody comes home, the dog goes and gets your slippers and brings them to you. I mean, you can train a dog to do all these things. But when a dog, out of the goodness of his heart, wants to share himself with you, he ceases to be a dog. And what does he begin to be at that moment? At that moment, he begins to be your absolute creation. He is a reflection of all the purity and goodness and all the majesty that's within you. He is really a creation of yours. Now, do you expect a cat to do whatever you expect a cat to do? Yes, you do expect a cat to do whatever you expect a cat to do. And a cat does whatever you expect a cat to do because you expect a cat to do whatever you expect a cat to do. Now, Herb, that's rather all redundant. Yes, it is. But that's exactly what you do. When you have a child, and that child is a good child, that child is exactly what you expect it to be. When that child is a bad child, that child is exactly what you expect it to be. When your job is a wonderful, fulfilling job, then that's exactly what you expect it to be. When the job is not rewarding, not fulfilling, and doesn't leave you happy at the end of the day, then that's exactly what you expect it to be. Now, is it good? Is it bad? Is it right? Is it wrong? It doesn't matter. It only matters that your creation should be so one with you, so into your intuitive beingness, that your creation responds to you in its beautiful, fantastic way. Like with Christy. Christy walks into her hospital, and when she walks into her hospital, all of the nurses come up and kiss her feet, you know. And when she goes around on her rounds and checks on them what they're doing and so forth, they all say, Miss Christy, you know, or Nurse Christy, whatever they call her. And as they do this with absolute respect. And then, because she is such a in-tune master, all the nurses come up and say, we have just done this, we've just done that, we've just done the other thing. And Chrissy says, yes, I know. That's what I mentally spoke my word to have you do. But she doesn't say that. Now, you know why Chrissy doesn't say that? Because they'll say, Oh, you're controlling me. You're manipulating my mind, huh? No way. So Chrissy is too smart to do that. Chrissy thinks her thought and brings about the result of her thought, and her world is fulfilled thereby. And everything is in divine order. Now, is your world that way? And if you say yes, that's wonderful. If you say no, then you're not working it. How does your world get to be that way? How does Rex communicate with us most of the time? He looks at us with his big brown eyes, and he says, I love you. You're wonderful. You're super. And you cannot help but pet him. And then Rex thinks, come on, let's go for a walk. Come on. You know? And he gives his little clues that let you know what he wants to do by grabbing his leash or something and saying, let's go for a walk. But sometimes he'll just stand in front of you and say, you know what I'm thinking. Now let's go do it. You know what I'm thinking. And you go and do it. Now, if we can think our thought and have a human being respond to our thought, which we do and we can, how much more readily can we think our thought and have our animal kingdom instantly respond to our thought? Whether it's a snake or a lizard or a dog or a cat or a lion or a tiger or an elephant or a rat, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we think, it responds to us. When you walk into the stable or you walk into the place where the animals are kept, and all the animals are of a different nature, and they see you, and they're not familiar with seeing you because you're not one of their caregivers. And so they look at you and they think, I wonder what he has in his mind. No, no, no. If you are a master of yourself, you walk in that area where the animals are kept, and you say to yourself, I am unconditional love, and I love every one of these animals absolutely. They're so wonderful. And you look at the tiger and the lion and the horse and the cat and the elephant and the rat. You look at all of them, and what do? You love them. And what do they do to you? They love you. Really. They love you. Whenever I am confronted with some creature that is having a difficult time, I get down on my knees. And I'm not praying, but I'm getting down on my knees to be on his level. And I say, come on now, what seems to be the problem? And little by little they cozy up. You see? I'm the master. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid that they're going to hurt me or do anything that is unpleasant to me. I just am one with them. Now, who else do you know who did that?
Gregor.
Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. Gregor too. But Daniel in the lion's den. The king had to put Daniel into the lion's den because of circumstances. And he went in there. And Daniel was such a storyteller. He just loved telling stories. And so he gathered all the lions around him and said, okay, guys, come on over here. I got some stories to tell you. And they thought, I can taste you already, because they were hungry for a good piece of meat. And so Daniel sat down among them, and he said, now, here is my life story. I was born. And then he bored them to death, and they came over, and he petted and loved them. And he was still telling the story of his life when the king came in the morning and opened up the cage and found Daniel was perfectly okay. Now, why? Daniel had nothing to fear. He wasn't fearful of those lions. Oh, he was wise to know how to work with them, but he wasn't fearful of them, because at all times he was the master. Now, Ellen brings up Gregor here, that he's a man who loves animals, and when Gregor comes into a house, no matter what they have in the house, snakes or cats or dogs or rats, it doesn't make any difference. He gets down on his hands and knees or his elbows, and he says, well, guys, how you doing? You know? And they fall in love with him, because he is first in love with himself, and Gregor is in love with himself. And then he is down on his hands and knees in love with all creatures, great and small. And what do? They return that love. They return that love and that belief and that confidence in him. Now, how many days have you been with a dog? If you think a dog is a dog, then the dog is a dog and limited to whatever a dog in your mind is conceived as. If you think of this creature, this being, as your thought creation, then what happens? You create a lover. You create a beast of burden who will pull your sled for you. You create anything at all, but not a dog, as the conceptual thought of word of dog means. We go beyond that. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to be the creator of your world? And even though you might have a dog, or you might call it a dog, why do you take a dog and say, "Hello, Rex, how are you, my little woochie-woochie puppy, my good little dog? Oh, Rex, you're such a good little puppy. Oh, you're that." Why do we do that? We go away from his name to all this baby talk. And then what are we doing? We're signifying to the baby that we love the baby, and we cannot think of any way to say words that we think would help. But if we were to say to the baby, "I love you. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so fantastic. You're such a good baby. Oh, man, you're so great." Now, that baby would understand every word. Now, if we say to a dog or a cat or anything at all, "I love you. You're wonderful. You're great." I've taken tours at meal meditations with many different groups of people. And each of the group of people that came along, they were very interested in what the lecture was, because the lecture was all about the history of philosophy that was lining the paths there, with all the great philosophers there and all of the stories of the great philosophies that they had. And a group of women were sitting on a bench, and they were so excited and so interested in what I was saying, the bench tipped over backwards and they fell in the brush, and there was a rattlesnake there. I says, "Hey, what is going on here? Rattle, rattle, rattle." And they said, "Ah, oh." I said, "Hush now. Hush now." And I said, "Mr. Rattlesnake, would you please turn around and go the other way? You're disturbing my ladies here." And the rattlesnake turned around and went the other way. And they thought I was just great, you know. And so then we got to another point. And then we were at this point, and it was at a cave, and we were talking about the resurrection of Jesus and so forth. And then we heard the rattlesnake again. And I said, "I just talked to your brother." Not the same one. Don't ever let them think they're being followed or chased, you know. "I was just talking to your brother." And I told him, "We would appreciate it if you would play outside until we're done here." And so he turned around and went out. Now, again, they thought, "Wow, what does this guy have?" Well, the same thing everybody has. But I believed in me, and I believed in what I said. Now, the story continues with several other incidents of the same nature at different places along the path. But it does happen. And I'm not so wonderful for doing it. I'm not so wonderful for doing it. I am merely master of my circumstances. And each of you have done things similar in your life, if not once, many times. And what have you done? You've each said, "Hey, I'm here. Don't bother me," you know. And you weren't bothered. But the question comes up, why did you create them there in the first place? And you created them because you wanted to demonstrate to yourself that you're in charge. And you can be, and you are. And then you say, "No, I wouldn't do that. No, I would never do that." Well, you did. Nobody else did. Just you. So let's today begin creating the pets in our world, which starts with our body and starts with our friends and our neighbors and our relatives and our family or whomever they may be, and say, "Hey, I love you. I love you. I love you." And watch the miracles happen. I love you.